A very good afternoon to everybody. I would especially like to say good afternoon to those listening in, especially Olympia brethren. I'm hoping that their hookup is working this afternoon fine. Because if I'm saying this and you're not hearing me right now at the Clarion Hotel, then I'm talking to everybody here. But I hope you're hearing me. It's good to be able to be in contact with others around. When I think of God's plan of salvation, the holy days, that God's plan pictures, I often think about God's holy days in reference to the past, present, and future significance. For those of you who have kept Passover in Olympia, you're probably aware of the last couple of years I've started Passover service by mentioning the past, present, and future significance of the Passover. Every step in God's plan of salvation, which God's holy days picture, can be looked at from the past, present, and future significance. And that is definitely true with the day of Pentecost. I'd like to start by going to Acts 2. Fancy that, on the day of Pentecost, going to Acts 2. We've already been there today in both the messages we heard. The fact that I'm going to Acts 2 brings out the past significance of the day of Pentecost. Because as has already been mentioned today, the New Testament church, the church of God, started on the day of Pentecost. They already have past significance. Mr. Hooser referred to the past significance in the Old Testament. The Jewish tradition has it that the Ten Commandments was given on the day of Pentecost at Mount Sinai. There's so many things we can tie in there. I'd like to focus on one scripture that's already been read today and emphasize this one scripture. As you know, the sermon was given by Peter in Acts 2. That great power that we already heard about was displayed. In verse 38, Peter said to them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The title of this message that I'm giving now is The Promise of the Holy Spirit. And so I'd like to emphasize verse 39. We're all aware of the present significance of the day of Pentecost, because each of us here today are here because of the day of Pentecost. We are blessed to have understanding of God's word, as we've heard this morning, because of receiving God's Holy Spirit, either working in us directly or working with us, if you've grown up in the church, as I grew up in the church. And verse 39 talks about this promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 says, "For the promise is to you." So each of us here can take great joy. If we just read that much of this verse, verse 39, we should all have big smiles on our faces, thinking, as we refer to, thinking about the messages we heard this morning. This promise is to you. But we don't stop there, because then it says, and to your children. And as a father with two children, I have two children here, and I look around and I see many children in the congregation today. I take great joy in knowing that this promise is to my children. That is a great joy to me. This promise is to my children. But I also look around and I see some parents, some mothers and fathers out there, who your children are not here today. But we still have this promise here, that this promise is to your children. I think about my own family. I grew up in the church from a little five-year-old boy. Yes, I used to be a little tot. I used to run around and at church services. And I think about how my mother, if she was still alive, would read this verse right now. Because it says, "For the promise is to you and to your children." And I think my mum would read this, and possibly my mum might get a little discouraged, because I have five brothers and two sisters who also grew up in God's church. And out of those five brothers and two sisters and me, that makes eight of us, eight children, the only one that has baptized, that has God's Spirit, and is today keeping the day of Pentecost, you're looking at right now. So I think if my mum was reading this verse, how would she feel? Well, I know that my mum would sigh and cry about many things in this world, and that this would possibly be one of those things that she would sigh and cry about. But yet we have this verse here. It says, this promise is to you and to your children. So how would I answer my mother? What would I say to my mother? Well, this is what I would say to my mother. I'll return to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Because I think especially mothers worry about their children. It's not that dads don't, but mothers have that bond with their children. I think they do worry about their children more than fathers. That's just the way it is. That nurturing spirit that mothers have been blessed with, that us men try to learn from being blessed through marriage. Jeremiah 31, verse 15, verses 15 through 17. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. Verse 17, there is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. This is what I would read to my mother if she was still alive today. But verse 39 of Acts 2 continues, doesn't it? This promise, this precious promise is to you. It is to your children. Whether they're here today with you or whether they used to be here with you, this is a future promise of God's Holy Spirit. This promise is for them. Next it says, Acts 2 verse 39, this promise is to you and to your children and to those afar off. Now there's a few ways we can think about those that are far off. You can be looking afar off distance-wise, looking off into the future afar off. You can also, it doesn't take much looking around this world at the moment. And you could probably start naming people and you think, that person is far off from the truth of God. They aren't even thinking about that they should repent of anything right now. So spiritually speaking, there are many people that are far off. I don't have to name anybody. You could look at politicians. You could look at our entertainment business. You can look at anywhere you like. There are many people are far off. Many, many people are far off. Let's go to Joel 2, please, the book of Joel. The book of Joel is one of those minor prophets which talks about the day of the Lord, or the Lord comes. Often you hear the phrase, in that day, referring to that great day when Christ returns to this earth. In that day, throughout the minor prophets, you hear that phrase along those lines. And Joel, the book of Joel, we often read during the Feast of Tabernacles. In Joel 2, verses 28, Joel 2 and verse 28, through verse 29, it reads here, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I know I used to keep Pentecost as a boy growing up, and I always focus on the significance of what Pentecost means right now. And that's important because it is significant for us right now. But we also have these verses like Joel 2 verse 28, says that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servant my men servants and my maid servants. I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, these verses here in Joel 2, the Apostle Peter quoted in Acts 2. He quoted these verses because the start of the fulfillment of these verses started on the day of Pentecost. But the complete fulfillment of these verses is still future. It's a future promise of the Holy Spirit to those that we think of now that are far off. As I said, we can think of far off being far off in the distance. You could think of the nature of man and how far off it is from what God wants for us. Afar off. I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then when you go back to Acts 2 verse 39, for this promise is to you and to your children, to those that are far off. And then it says, as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many will God call? I'm not here to give you a number on that, but I believe that number is big. To use the Ephraimite understatement, it's a big number. It's a huge number. That's how the Manassite would say it. It's a huge number. As many as the Lord our God shall call. How many is that? It's a lot. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2. And we'll start in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as we heard this morning, the only way that you can come to the knowledge of the truth is through the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. So I'm just going to finish by reading that verse 39, which I've tried to emphasize today. The promise is to you and to your children, to all those afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call.